Music down.
We are live.
We are live. And that's it. Great show. Thanks, guys.
That was good. Job, that was real.
What's up? My name is Christian. And I'm just going to say it. I'm an addict and alcoholic.
Oh, there it is. There it is.
And today we have... I don't know if we're the A team, but we're one of the first four letters for sure.
Nice. Yes. I'll take it.
Yeah.
I'll take that.
That works.
And we're going to be talking about the daily reflection, and I'm going to try and pull that up. Hey, who says hey? Hey, Kim. What's up, Kim? You got to get on the mic. You got to get. Let's see your mic,
right,
Adam.
Now?
Yeah. Hey. Let's see it.
I can't hear him.
But yeah, he's kind of low.
Yo.
We all the way live.
Better. Can you hear?
I can hear you.
Can you hear you?
I can hear me a little bit.
Which channel is he? Do you know which channel he is?
Four. Try it again.
Hello.
There you go.
Hey.
Give him a little bit of the game.
Yes.
Try it again.
Hello.
Can one more time.
Patience is a virtue.
Yeah, I don't think that's his. Talk again.
Hello.
There we go. Hey. Yeah, that's him. Hey.
Hey.
All right. Cool. So as you can tell, we're all the way live.
Oh, yeah.
All the way live. So we did this last week.
Yes.
Yeah. And it was good. It was good for, I think, all of us to have the conversation, and I think some people got something out of it.
Yeah, it was really good. I enjoyed it, man, being a part of it.
Yeah. And who are you?
My name is David.
Yeah.
And I am an addict and an alcoholic and all those other things.
Yeah. Why don't you go ahead? What are you?
My name is Adam, and I am an addict for sure.
Yeah. And?
My name is Andrew, a.k.a. Costa.
Cosa Nostra.
An alcoholic and an addict.
Yeah. Yeah.
Both.
And so.
One and the same.
Both.
What we did last week, which was good, was we broke down the daily reflection. Initially, Andrew and I were reading a daily reflection from a couple days ago around the concept of acceptance.
All right.
I don't want to throw this off topic, but. And we were like, maybe we should talk about that. And I don't know why we didn't. Probably because I'm not ready to talk about acceptance.
You got to accept that you got to accept things sometimes.
Yeah, I'm not ready. But this is really good stuff here. And what I love about what this daily reflection is it absolutely applies to us addicts and alcoholics. But I think it applies to any human being who is on a journey of spiritual growth, who wants to become a whole, complete human, who is a force for good on this earth. And so the daily reflection reads, I ask God to decide. Stop right there. That right there, just that first line is like, I'm already not feeling this.
What don't you feel about that?
Because I'm a person of action.
Right. You want to decide?
I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm. I want God to bless what I've already decided I'm going to do.
Just go along with me, Lord.
Hey, yeah, right. I'm going over this way. Dave was a little loud on that.
Am I loud?
Well, no,
that
not
usually
you.
Never
just
happens.
Oh. His level on it. All right, so this is what it reads. I pray that you now remove from me every single defect of character which stands in the way of my usefulness to you and my fellows.
Mm-hmm.
That comes from the big book, page 76. And then it reads, having admitted my powerlessness and made a decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of God, as I understand it, step three, I don't decide which defects get removed, or the order in which defects get removed, or the time frame in which they get removed.
Wow, that's no control right there.
That last one, though.
Right. Ooh. So, I don't want to come across as religion bashing, but I do want to say that there's been certain thoughts, thinking, in kind of the Christian world, that it's like you got to get rid of all these things, right? All this bad stuff you do, right? And for a long time, I thought I got a problem with this, right? Mm-hmm. This thing here, I need to deal with this,
right?
And not to say that that's not true.
Okay.
But I was deciding what character defect I felt was the thing that needed to be worked on, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So the concept that I don't decide which defect gets removed is kind of freeing. Yeah?
What's scary that? Scary too, though.
Yeah? You know? Tell me about it. What's that?
Unknown.
Yeah.
It's giving up all our control. Yeah. Or at least the illusion that we have control right. in the first place.
Yeah, right, right, yeah.
And then just surrendering to yeah. that. Scary.
Yeah, I think it'll be difficult if, like, you yourself notices you have a character defect that you're really trying to work on, and you don't necessarily see progress on it, but you're making effort to, like, face it and deal with it, but something else is happening the whole time. And so giving it up, giving it to your higher power to take total control of, you know, wherever you fall short, your character defects or things that are preventing you from, like, moving forward to be, like, you know, that good person that you were talking about, you know, that, you know, at least I guess I'm trying to achieve. That is hard to lose that control, because you have in your mind, you have a idea of, like, this will make me better. If I get rid of this, I know I can, you know,
right.
my chance of achievement will be higher, you know.
There's still a lot of judgment and attachment to the relief of that character defect, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, one thing is I for a long time, I was somebody who really felt like, you know, I needed to work on something, like a thing. I had something I needed to work on, you know, for a long time. And whatever that care, what if anger or it's, you know, whatever, one of my many character defects, controlling, you know, being skeptical or negative. And so I really wanted to focus on certain things. And so I would be working on these things. Right.
Right.
And there's a couple, like there's a Richard Rohr quote that comes to mind, which is if you try to change your ego with the help of your ego, you end up with a better disguised ego.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Mm.
And that was me. In early recovery, 100%. This concept, I really didn't get, because I really wanted that control. And I wanted to be Mr. Recovery.
Right.
Recovery boy.
Right. And you're working to, like, you're noticing things about yourself that you really think, you know, if you work on these things, these defects, and fix them in this order, in your way, you feel like you can reach the goal that you sincerely want.
Right.
Which is good. Like, you want to be recovery guy. You want to be able to be that person that promotes sober living, sobriety, living a different, a good life, living a, you know, a higher power seeking life.
Yeah.
So when you take when you still want to achieve that, but you take the control away from it, it's really hard to even, it's hard for me to even, like, think about kind of like achieving being the person that you're wanting to be, which is a good sober guy, somebody that you can depend on,
yeah,
and not having no control over the outcome and letting God just take you and lead you. That's hard to think about, you know?
Mm.
Yeah.
Dude, so I've been working on a motorcycle, right? Never done it before, never owned one. And we were talking, you know, I was thinking about defects, right? And patience is one of mine. And I've had this thing for 2.5 months. I've gotten to ride it like 5 miles. And I keep having to mess with the carbs, right? There's air in the carbs and fuel. And I find that, you know, when I first started, like, honestly, working on these defects, it would be almost like a leaky pipe, and I plug one, like maybe it's selfishness. That was one, mm-hmm. right? So I'm starting to work on that, and I'm plugging it, and boom, it starts squirting out somewhere else.
Right.
And like my ego shoots up. Like, all right, yeah, I'm being selfless, but now I want credit for it. I want people to know that. I want people to see me
right
this wow. way. And it's just like the carbs I'm dealing with. If I give it too much air, it's lacking gas. I give it more gas, now there's not enough air.
Yeah.
And I found that to be pretty true. Like, I want to be in control of working on this problem. And God's like, hold on. Now this is coming up.
Right.
Like, let me lead you.
Yeah.
Quit trying to put your thumb. He's like, let me put my thumbs on there.
Right.
That's a good right. analogy.
Yeah.
That's a really good analogy.
Well, sometimes you got to rebuild the carburetor.
I did.
You did. You still have the issue. Yeah. Kim, I love that Kim is engaging here. I ask God to decide is a relief because surrendering is a relief. Realizing we don't have the answers. That's good.
It's real.
That's real. And that's true.
Yeah,
that's
because exactly it's surrender, it. Right? Yeah. Surrendering. That's the focus of this, being able to surrender your will over and let God do his thing, let your higher power do his thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Keeping the good intentions the whole time, you know.
So it continues here. I ask God to decide which defects stand in the way of my usefulness to him and to others, or to her and to others. And then I humbly ask her to remove them. Does it bug you if I put her in there?
No.
No? Mm-hmm. Okay.
I was wondering why you did it, but no, it doesn't.
Well, I did it because, I mean, we like to, in, you know, our culture, we like to reference God as a him, right? And so.
I say him or her.
Or her.
Or it, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Like, but
it's 2020.
It's pretty key, though, right? It's 2020. I ask God to decide which defects stand in the way of my usefulness to it. What's standing in the way? That's a key.
Yeah, that's a good prayer.
Yeah, I was going to pull that up.
Yeah.
I already have it pulled up. Seven step prayer?
Yeah.
I already have it pulled up.
Do it.
Run it.
My Creator, I am now willing that you should have all of me, good and bad. I pray that you now remove me from every single defect of character which stands in the way of my usefulness to you and my fellows. Grant me strength as I go out from here to do your bidding. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. I actually said that prayer this morning.
Yeah.
Just because, like, it's kind of, the camera wasn't even on me. Oops. I always do that to myself. It's kind of interesting, though, because, like, I was thinking about it when we were talking about how, like, I'm always, I think it's me that has to take away my defects, right? Like, I don't think about, like, God is the one who decides which defect I get rid of at that point. But then you read the seven-step prayer, you know, and it pretty much clearly states right there.
Yeah.
You know?
Please
remove every single defect of character that stands in the way of...
That, yeah.
That stands in the way, right? Like, I don't know which one stands in the way right away.
Right.
You know what I mean? It kind of... He does. She, it... does.
Yeah.
You know? And so it's interesting that I'm just now realizing that I don't get to decide which defect of character I work on.
Yeah.
You know?
And it's just for today.
Yeah.
That's, I think, another key thing is that, you know, I'm offering myself to you here today, right? It's one day at a time. So which character defects stand in the way today from my usefulness to my fellow man? And that's a different mindset.
That's a way to look at it.
Right?
Yeah, that's a good way to look at it.
Man, that's even too big of a gap for me. I got to be like, just for this hour.
Yeah.
Or this minute.
Yeah.
You know, I got to redirect myself a lot. Because I'll drift right back into selfishness, self-centeredness.
Yeah. Without even realizing it sometimes.
Yeah.
Like,
I've gotten better at the awareness of that.
Yeah.
Thank you, accountability.
Right. Yeah. But like you notice it and it's like when you're wrong, promptly admit it, right? Like, oh man, that was selfish. Let me go back real quick as soon as possible.
Apologize.
Apologize if it's necessary. Right. You know, or just do whatever's next.
That's huge too, man, is like, you know, we're imperfect humans, we're gonna make mistakes, we're gonna make bad choices. There's a difference. It's what we do with it afterwards. you know, in the past, I would hide, I would cover that up, hide that, do whatever I had to do to not let that be known, to feel less than I already did, you know?
Yeah.
And I can own that now. God's like, dude, it's cool. Just be honest.
Right.
You know, love yourself.
Yeah, that's good, good stuff. That is good. I think a lot of it is like a, there's, for me personally, is a level of judgment, self-judgment that's, I think, has been the one of the biggest crutches, you know, for my ego or for my false self that has really played a role in keeping me miserable. It's like, you know, I'm really, I can be very harsh about on myself and how I've acted and how, what I've said or what I've done. You know, the other day we went to IKEA, and which is a is a test for anyone's patience. Okay,
especially right now.
Yeah, and so we went there. I wanted to go on. You know, IKEA got two floors, right? They got the floor with all the everything's laid out. And then you got to have a long line before you can even get in because they're only letting so many people in the building.
Right.
Good. Right. You got to wear a mask. Okay.
It's
good.
Hot out.
I appreciate this. Yeah. It's hot. So we're waiting outside. And I'm good. I'm patient. And I know wifey wants to go through the gallery. I'm trying to. I was like, look, can we just go in? I know what I want to get. And so she says, you know, we get in there. We, of course, I just, all right. Let's, she wants to go in the gallery. I'm good. I'm good. Not even tripping. And then there's a point when I start getting kind of like confused. It's just I'm overwhelmed at this point. For me, like in a social setting like that, malls, busy stores, shopping around, I'll get overwhelmed and my brain starts shutting off. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of got to that point. I'm like, we need to roll. So we get downstairs and they don't have the part. So we do all the shopping and we dwindle it down and we talk about, well, this one's good. Well, yeah, but what do you think? How's that's gonna fit in the in Emmanuel's room? And you know, the freaking conversation about every single. What about this cushion? You know, and then we get down there. We've had this whole thing, and the part's not there. And I lose it. Now I'm not like a raving lunatic. You know,
you're just frustrated
internally.
Well, there's a couple F bombs and cussing happening. You know what I mean? So, but. There's levels to what I'm trying to explain is there's levels to the judgment. So there's one thing to acknowledge, okay, hey, that's something we need to work on. Because this is an easy solve.
Right.
The solution is literally all around me, right? What's the other thing we talked 20 minutes on? And
acceptance.
Right. But there's this other kind of level to it, which is I should do better. I should be better. I should know better. I should be calm in all of these circumstances. Nothing should get to me because I'm so freaking spiritual.
Why am I letting this situation mess with my spirituality right now?
Oh, yeah.
I'm better than this.
Right.
Yeah.
That's. I mean, how? First off, that don't sound like the voice of God in your head.
Right.
Right?
No.
Right, because it's the motivation is your frustration and you're motivated by like, your negative emotion, like you're letting that like come up with like the conclusion of why I'm pissed. Why am I pissed? I shouldn't be pissed. I believe in God. You know what I mean? It's something like that playing in your head.
Yeah, Kim says the ego mind is vicious, but that's not your true nature. It's hard though to manage the ego. It takes lots of daily practice, moment to moment. It's a journey. It's the journey. That's what she says. Yeah, facts.
Nice.
I was thinking about some of my standout defects. And in the past, they were cyclical, right? Like I would get into like self-condemnation. Most of them were based off of comparisons, right? I'd get stuck in the comparison cycle. This isn't where I thought I would be at this age. I don't have the amount of money I thought I'd have at this age. I don't think I don't have the girl I thought I would. And I would, you know, judge myself, right? And then I would move into self-pity and feel bad for myself.
Be then your own worst critic.
Yeah. And then I would resent myself for pitying myself and then move right back into self-condemnation. And it was I didn't realize that.
That's
but real. It was what was happening, like, cyclically for years.
Yeah. And that victim mind state is very damaging, right? That poor me.
Self-pity.
Self-pity. Boy.
Ooh, and if you can get somebody else to pity you, that's a high in and of itself, you know?
Yeah.
It's a monster being.
I read that it has a similar effect that that cocaine has in the brain.
Like really?
In your brain chemistry, somebody pitying you triggers the same kind of, I guess, dopamine.
Yeah. Whoa.
Not a scientist. I think it's dopamine.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I dig it.
Antihistamine. Antihistamine in the brain. Yeah.
So it makes sense, man. I just, for the longest time. Yeah.
I know one thing. Whenever all the coke is gone, depression.
Yeah.
It's tough to deal with right there. And I could see that.
Hello, darkness, my old friend.
Man, talk about sad.
You'd be like,
it's all gone.
You'd be like Bruce Banner at the end of the Hulk episodes when he's ding, 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 walking into the all sad with his backpack.
Alone
ding,
on the
ding,
road.
Ding, 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 ding. That's for all the old heads out there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's for all the old heads.
People might not know
when
about
Lou Ferrigno was the
when
Hulk.
He gets angry.
Purple pants, right?
Purple pants.
Purple pants.
There's a real live human in green paint. This Lou Ferrigno.
Beast. He was a beast, though.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry. I just can't. I've seen it, but I just.
You can't relate.
No.
It's the Hulk,
I feel
man.
You, dude. I was on the tail end of that.
Yeah.
Nah.
So this daily reflection is, you know, pointing to step 7. And there's another part to this, but I think we'll get to there. But I wanted to read something out of here, which is, but whenever we had, this is out of the 12 and 12, but whenever we had to choose between character and comfort, the character building was lost in the dust of our chase after what we thought was happiness. That's that old programming, right?
Yeah.
I know if I take this and put it in my body, I'm going to feel a certain way. And so character building is lost to comfort. And even in sobriety, we can still kind of... Because sometimes, like, that character building, it's painful. The concept of
it... I think all times you're building character, it's painful, at least,
especially when you have to face, like... Where you're like screwing up and like where you're falling short, and especially if you're doing, you know, if that defect is repeatedly like happening and you can't fix it, like you're noticing this thing about yourself that you don't like, you know, it's keeping you from going where, you know, keeping you from becoming who you want to be, and it's really difficult to try to deal with it and get it right. That's tough, man.
Yeah, and that's where, for us, the process of gaining a new perspective was unbelievably painful. I love how this stuff is wrote. Unbelievably painful.
Yeah.
Because I tell you, man, like, these character defects, it is like a drug. You know? That anger, like, when I'm in a situation and I'm like, I know this ain't the right way to deal with this. And it is... terribly painful to try and choose a different way, a new way, right? And so I have to implement the tools that I have, which would maybe calling somebody, right? Maybe pausing, going
taking
and praying.
Some deep breaths or some stuff, like anything like that.
Take some deep breath, meditation, pinch my nipple really hard.
Oh, my God. Whatever works for you.
You know? Like, when you see me like this, you like Christian. It's okay. You're going to be okay.
That's self-harm, though, isn't it?
That's self-harm. Yeah, right. Yeah. So that's, what is it? Not flatulence. It's flagelling yourself?
I don't know.
You don't know? Yeah, so, but it is hard. Like, when I brought up acceptance, because acceptance is one of those things, like, I've been thinking about acceptance. And one thing I think is, like, surrender is something I'm getting good at.
Okay.
Because surrender is I'm hitting something, I'm getting enough pain that I go, okay, fine, tap out. But acceptance is surrendering before the pain. It's not even getting to the point of pain. right? It's really true faith, I think, coming to a place of acceptance. Is really, and so, like, this judgment mind of mine could say, well, then you need to get more faith. Mm-hmm. You know, what's wrong with you? You know, or I can say, all right, that's the character building that I'm being a part of right now. I got to learn acceptance. And if that means I need to learn more faith, then that takes time.
Right. Or anything that you have to work on that's going to, you know, when you realize it's going to take you a little while, you know, you're going to have to work that patience in there, and you're going to, you know, you're going to have to give it to God, because you can't fix it, man.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's going to have to go to your higher power. You have to surrender those things, because, you know, no man can fix these things, man. It's all up to your, you know, it's all on your higher power. And if you can sincerely give that up, then that should bring your faith up. You know what I mean?
You just moved the mic, sound like a fart.
Right after we're talking about flatulence.
I swear it was the mic.
It was the mic. The other part of it is, you know, in service to others, right? How does that thing read? I got to put my glasses on.
Oh, my glasses.
To decide which defects stand in the way of my usefulness to him and others, and then humbly ask him to remove them. So the concept of living for others, right?
Yeah.
That's like, I don't know where, if anyone's listening and where they're at in their recovery journey, right? But depending on where you're at, living for others can sound like a freaking mile away, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Where, Adam, can you tell us, like, when do you feel like there was a switch in your life when you kind of went, you found the magic in living and serving other people?
I think the first attraction that I had towards it to even become willing or open-minded to it was seeing others that did that for me and seeing, like, fruits of the Spirit all over these dudes. And I'm like, and they're, you know, they're dudes just like me.
Yeah.
Right. And I'm like, I want what this dude has.
Yeah.
And most, I think all of them would be like, dude, you got your defects or your, you know, your flesh, what you do when you're experiencing pain or what you do to avoid experiencing pain. And you need to just invite God into that and choose the Spirit path.
Yeah.
And that's usually selflessness, loving other people. And so I'm like, you know, I journaled about this and I'm like, well, you know, I took a job in ministry and I took like a $10 an hour pay cut. And I'm like, dude, I don't, you know.
So you're getting paid like $1 an hour now.
I mean, not where I would like to be, but, and I, you know, I journaled to God about it and I talked to him just like a friend. I'm like, dude, like, I don't see how this is going to work. You know, like, where, I don't know how my needs are going to get met.
Yeah.
You know, and that, I think that's a huge fear of being of service to others. It's like, well, what about me?
Yeah.
And I definitely had that. And he's like, trust me, man. He's like, purpose over profit.
Yeah.
It's like, you're going to profit from this in ways that aren't monetary. They're, you know, they're things that can't be taken away from you. And I was like, you know what, man? Like, I suck at directing my own life. I know that.
Yeah.
So, all right, cool. Let's do it, man. And I had done that a couple times in big decisions before. And I'm like, you know what? I don't know what to do. So this is what I want to do. What you want me to do is the exact opposite. I'm going to trust you on this one, and I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm in Atlanta, you know. And it's worked out great. So each new time that comes up, it's just, all right, yeah, cool, man. Like, I don't know how it's going to work out, but I trust that it will.
Yeah. I read a book called The Cost of Discipleship by Dietrich Bonhoeffer. And I always say I don't recommend the book unless you're ready to grow, right? Because he does put into perspective the life. It's a Christian book. And so he puts into perspective what the life of a disciple, right, would look like, right? Someone who's following this way, right? This way of love, this way of life, this way of connectivity, this way of serving others before yourself, right? And in it, he said, like, there are times when, and again, this is his verbiage, right? There are times when a disciple will be in the marketplace and will make a decision that will undermine his own pocketbook, basically, right?
Yeah.
Because for the disciple, their main interest is in the relationship, is in the connection. And so when I read that, I think I took it to one extreme because that's how I am. Right? That means I got to be broke. Okay, fine.
You know, give it all away.
Poor me, pity me. But
dopamine.
What it really means for me now, today, is there's just a way in which I do business now, right? Where I look at a situation, and when a client's coming to me or someone's coming to me, I make an accurate assessment of how much time I think it's going to take. Mm-hmm. I make an accurate assessment of how much what my time's worth, right? Mm-hmm. And I give an honest quote back, you know? And I've always done that. And it's always paid off. Like,
wow.
Here we are, chilling.
Yeah.
With four microphones, four stands, cords, headphones,
all
lights.
All that.
Right?
Got like the green light in the back.
Right.
All that.
Oh, I just switched to the fish eye. So
yeah, we got the fish eye. You know, like, it's worked out. But if I'm in control, right?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, well, I think I should have X, Y, and Z. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's why I usually do the opposite of my thoughts when it comes to that. Because it's like if somebody would say, hey, you know, Dave, can you go talk to this person or something like that? Can you help them out or something like that? And my first thought is, well, it should be, you know, this. And I'm thinking about money. Then I got to, like, erase that out.
Yeah.
You know, I got to take that away. You know, and you know how long I've been struggling. I mean, it's an ongoing struggle, you know, being of service and trying to be the provider that I want to be too.
Yeah, right.
And that's an ongoing thing with me that I deal with, you know, that I've dealt with, you know, for a good while now, being, you know, trying to do both at the same time, trying to be a provider for my family, or at least be in the game as far as being able to help with the bills, take care of my side of things,
right?
Be the husband, and then at the same time do altruistic actions,
you know, yeah,
doing actions just to give with no return,
yeah,
no expectation of return.
Yeah,
that's an ongoing thing with me,
and that's something that's got to be discerned between you, your higher power,
right,
and the men that you have kind of in your life that you bounce these kind of things off, mm-hmm, of, right? Mm-hmm. Kim could drop in knowledge. Kim need to come over here. Living for others seems big, but when you think about it, as one encounter to another, showing love and forgiveness helps it seem manageable and beautiful and easy. So bit by bit, each mm-hmm time, we get the evidence.
You know what I was just thinking about?
No. What were you thinking about?
I don't know why this popped in my head. I don't even know if this is on topic or not, but it's a chain reaction, right? It's kind of like COVID in a way.
Okay.
All right. So
let's hear this.
So you you infect somebody by helping them out, right?
Yeah, dude.
So you help them out. You bring peace to their life. Make them happy, right? You help get them happy. You help get them to this other place. Then they get to this place where they're able to do it to somebody else.
Yeah.
Right? As soon as it's like COVID, as soon as you come in contact with somebody, yeah, that has it, chances are you're going to have it. If
it's
somebody
the love
has
virus,
yeah, if somebody has what you want deep enough, and this is the whole basis of sobriety, right?
Yeah.
This is how sobriety and recovery and AA or anything has gotten so big, is because it's infectious.
Yeah.
Right. It's the whole reason why we're all sitting here right now is because we got infected with recovery.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And then people take this a preach right here, right? But too many people, they be wearing the mask.
Oh.
They be wearing the mask.
Take the mask off.
Take the mask off.
Mask off.
Take it off. Take the facade off.
You know, that's funny you talked about masks just now, because At work today, we do a public forum every morning, and we give guys in the program an opportunity to expose negative behaviors, or you know, defects of character, and to share it, right? Kind of a step five, and own that and try to do something different with it. And we found some contraband, no drugs or anything like that, but just stuff guys are not supposed to have. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, told them, said, hey, we found this, you know, this is an opportunity to do something different than you would normally do. Like, you're probably not going to get caught if you don't own it, but you're going to have to carry that around. And I told them about this, you know, the Japanese talk about three faces. Mm-hmm. What we show to the world, the face we show to our close friends and family, and then the one we don't show anybody. Mm. And I was like, that's the one that's going to keep us sick.
Yeah.
Because that's probably the majority, you know, of where we're at. And I was like, man, this is an opportunity to show that, man. Own that.
Yeah.
Expose it. Yeah. And I was like, if you can't be fully known, you're not going to be fully loved. You'll never receive
love,
because there's this barrier.
Yeah.
Relationally, because I know something that I'm not sharing with you.
Yeah. If you're not fully known, you're not going to get fully loved.
So what do you think the motivation is behind it? Is it a fear that somebody doesn't want to give that dark, that, you know, like that situation you talked about? Is it a fear of consequence? Is it just like just being scared, you know, to be able to be revealed in that community?
I think a fear of consequence. I think that's what keeps most of us from sharing that stuff, whatever that consequence may be. Maybe it's a punishment. Maybe it's people are judgmental towards you because of, I think that's probably a big one.
Yeah.
Fear of humiliation. What are these people, how are these people going to see me if I tell them that?
Yeah.
That's what's cool about, you know, the rooms is generally if you're sharing your story with somebody, they're, you know,
We all
have very similar stuff. We find out we're not as different as we think we are.
So did they spill the beans? Did they let the cat out of the bag?
No, nobody did it right now. But sometimes, you know, you just got
some time.
You got to plant a seed and let God water some conviction in there.
See if it grows.
Let them get a little freedom and some growth.
Yeah. So Andrew, let me ask you, like, this. We were talking about this. You recently graduated the program you're a part of. And
here we go.
We were talking about like kind of like you entering to a new phase in your recovery, right?
Yeah.
This is a great thing about working with somebody in recovery. We get to have these conversations, right?
That's love conversations right there.
Yeah. Bro. His conversations with me, he calls me on my bullshit and then he keeps it moving. And it's like, I'm like, I need someone to nurse me back to life. But...
Sorry.
for him, I'm trying to like guide him and lead him.
Yeah,
anyway,
yeah.
So we're talking about it, and what do you think? Like, you know, because how do you feel about this concept of being useful to others, and that essentially your surrendering to God is for that usefulness to others, and not conceptually, but kind of like now that you've got some time, you've graduated. Mm-hmm. Where do you feel like the opportunities are for you to really start to give back and live for others?
Well, we kind of talked about this yesterday, right? We went to his cemetery.
Yeah.
And for those of you who don't know, I've had four friends overdose. One died from alcoholism. Five friends passed this year in 2020. First time that's ever happened, you know, in my life that, you know, I've had that many friends pass away from drugs or just in general in that short of time. So it kind of, it, you know, it's been a lot to deal with. Three of those friends went to the rehab that I just graduated from. Yesterday we went to a cemetery to speak, to shoot a video, kind of talking about, you know, overdose prevention and just kind of things like that. And then you asked me, how did it feel to go back and talk about all that stuff? And my answer was simple. It's what we're here to do.
Yeah.
You know, the reason why I'm in recovery is, sure, to make my life better. But the reason why I'm sober and in recovery is to help other people do the same thing. That's the whole basis. Just like we were talking about, it's the whole basis of what recovery is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If we're not giving it back to other people, then how are we supposed to keep it? You know, you got to give it away to keep it.
I don't think you can.
You can't.
You can't.
I really don't.
You can't.
So where are the opportunities for you then?
Well,
after you pontificated and philosophized.
Ooh, well, I mean, this will definitely help.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Doing all this.
Absolutely.
But at the same time, it's not, I can't make this my recovery.
Right.
Which I've struggled with in the past.
Yeah.
You know,
me
and
too.
I can actually see myself doing it now. You know, since I graduated Saturday, I've been to one meeting.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not really, I'm talking to people, you know, I'm talking to the people that I graduated with. I'm talking to people that graduated before me and just a bunch of friends that are in recovery. I'm talking to people, but it'll be very easy for me to just say, oh, this is my recovery.
Yeah.
So what I need to do is kind of slow down and actually take time for myself to do what I need to do for my own recovery.
Yeah.
Because while this is really dope, you know what I mean? And I love doing this and I love giving back this way. There's only so much that I can do for my own recovery here.
Right. Right.
You know, and you have to be okay with yourself in order to give back to other people.
Yeah.
Key. You know, like my recovery has to come first before anybody else's.
Yeah.
You know, that's the only way that I'll be able to do those things in the first place. That's the only way I've been able to do those things in the first place. Now I can BS my way around things.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, I have so many times before. But it's always miserable and it's always sad and that's not the way that I want to go out. Yeah. Go this time. That's not the route I want to take.
Yeah.
You know, after achieving this, that I've been in this program for 3 years. A little over 3 years. Went in when I was 22, I'm about to be 26. So close to four, pretty much. And that's the only recovery that I've ever known or been successful at. I've been to three other rehabs before then.
Yeah.
But it's the only time I've been successful in recovery. You know, so now it's just.
Now that chapter's over, you got a whole new thing happening now, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got to branch out. You got to find your new way of keep maintaining recovery, you know, and you have to find a new way of being of service. Because probably in that environment, being there as long as you were probably like OG'ing it in there. Like people were coming to you, Andrew, and you was spitting that knowledge to them, right?
Well, towards the end, I wasn't really. Towards the end, I was kind of.
Checked out.
Yeah, a little
bit.
But
that's natural, too. Like,
yeah,
being that long in a program and then getting done.
Yeah.
You know, and then there's a transition time, right?
Yeah.
And there's the time when the page is turning.
You're not just automatically on that page. The page has
right,
to turn.
Exactly. You know? Right, exactly.
But at the same time, it's scary.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm terrified. I'm petrified right now.
Dude, I can totally relate to that. So, like, you know, I was at No Longer Bound for an extended stay. I was there for, it's a year program. I was there for 16 months. And I'm not from here. I'm from Florida, you know. And that was one of the first times, like, I asked God, like, what should I do when I left there? And he told me to grow where you're planted. And so I reached out to some friends I had made that weren't in the program anymore, that had graduated. And they got me hooked up with Vision Warriors and plugged in a new community. But that was scary, man, because I had support and all these people I developed relationships with.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden the gears had to change and like,
wow,
I know I need that community.
Yeah.
And so I'm grateful I landed where I did and found a new one and am continually developing that. But man, that's scary.
It's scary.
It's scary stuff.
Hell yeah. We going to piss test him when we done it.
It's all good.
Hey, man, I just graduated. I'm cured, bro.
Yeah. Yeah. For me, the usefulness to others right now is really where the conviction lies for me is in my family, my wife, and my kids. Like, I think I've spent a lot of time trying to go out there and help people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's scary. That's really hard. Because that interpersonal relationship, you know, and they're my kids and they're my wife, and talk about not having control, you know. But I really feel like that's the conviction for me right now. It's really like, you know, like I got a tattoo, trust God, clean house, help others. You know, and I kind of went from trust God and just started helping others. Mm-hmm. And last night I had an opportunity to have a really in-depth conversation with my daughter. She's doing great, but she puts a lot on her and stresses out, right? Much like I do. And so I was able to take that time, sit there, talk about my character defects. I don't know what happened. You know what I mean? Like, seriously, like, I yeah. sat down in the room. I had no attachment to it, and I just said, here, this is what I know, how it's worked for me. The same principles of these steps that right. got me sober, the same principles to help her to deal with stress and anxiety. And I walked out of there, and I went into the room, and there she is. And I just was like, wow, like, that wasn't me, first off. You know, but that but it is me, right? Like, it's that's God removing my character defects so that I could be of service to another person. And that's the beauty, I think, of what the steps can do, because it starts to weave into your yeah, whole life,
man. It's the steps. I mean, I don't know if for me it's so it's like a straighten out your life, and it's that kind of thing for me. It's not necessarily like stop drinking, this will keep you sober, to me. It's like, this is how you can be like a better person. This is how you can be helpful to somebody. This is how you can be a good dad. This is how you can be a good friend.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Get rid of this, like, check yourself, you know, help others, you know, be accountable, admit to people your wrongs, you know, all those things take, like, you want to talk about like being authentic and being real. Like, work the steps from a sincere place, and you will be authentically you. That's what it's trying to get you to be.
Right. Well, like I said, if we are painstaking about this process,
yeah,
you know, if we're ready to be rigorously honest,
yeah,
you know, we stick to this process, this is what's the result. These are the results that we're going to have from it.
Yeah. I feel like a lot of times, like, those defects are what make us, like, helpful to others. Sure, like, you know, up here on surface level,
right,
we struggle with chemical dependency. Okay, you remove that, and then what are you left with? Like,
yeah,
those are, like, very specific for people.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes even more relatable, because it's on such a day-to-day basis and happens without us thinking about it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
And I know, like, I will drift back to those things: selfishness, self-centeredness, dishonesty, self-condemnation, all those kind of things. I will constantly drift back if I'm not consciously, humbly asking God for help with those things. And then he brings me back over to the spiritual side.
Yeah.
And then I'll kind of want to, like, take the reins back, and I start drifting back over to that stuff. And it's this constant going down the road. I'm constantly having to.
It's a repeat.
Ask
it's a repeated
help.
Thing, man. You're repeatedly doing it.
I go back to, I have a step 6 list of all the character defects. And it's like a columned out, and it's in one of my notebooks. And so there's the list of the character defects, what life's like with it, what life could be like without it. And then there's a prayer for each one. And so I've found myself going back to that, because these character defects will sneak up on me, you know, like this controlling and this self-centeredness. Those things, they sneak up, and you're like, how the hell did that happen? So what I do sometimes is go back, I'll read those. Either I'll read just the prayers, right? So it's a list of however many defects. It's a prayer per one, but I can read the prayer all the way down. And I don't know, man. I don't want to say it's magic, dude, but that shit works, dude. It's crazy. Because it's really, like, all that really takes is me to just sit down in the morning before I get on the phone, before I start doing stuff. I get my cup of coffee, and I read through that. And the day's not perfect, you know, but something's different about me after that process.
If anything, you're preparing yourself. Your preparation is definitely going to be towards your benefit as you go out through your day, as you face the day.
Yeah.
If you do something like that, and you do a prayer that's structured, right?
Yeah.
And you look at yourself and you're able to self-reflect on all of the shit in you that's messed up.
Yeah.
Before you like get out of bed, before you go out the door of your bedroom.
Yeah.
Then you're prepared, man. Like,
right.
You know, to do good, like yeah. to be a better you, you know, there's yeah. focus on it. You know what I mean?
I think that's just like, it's self-accountability, right? Yeah. Like raises yeah. your awareness. Like if I keep holding you accountable for being late for something, I'm going to feel like an ass if I'm late. You know what I mean? Yeah. So like holding somebody else accountable yeah. really like is super helpful oh, yeah. for yeah, us.
It's a self-check too.
But to do it yourself like that, it just raises awareness of these things that we have, you know, yeah. in us that we need help with.
Yeah, absolutely. That he'll take them. That's the key is that that he will take them. I'm really thankful Kim stuck with us this whole time.
Yeah. So. All right, Kim.
Who is Kim? Do I know Kim?
No, but she's in this area. She says, I'm glad I listened in. I'm on a parallel journey. Your beautiful spirits shine. I look forward to meeting you all.
Thank you, Kim.
Thanks, Kim. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, this is good stuff. If you are just getting sober and you have no freaking clue what the hell we're talking about, message us.
Yes.
Hit the music.
And let's see how we can help. You know, I think in this room right now, there are a couple solutions that are that I'm sure we could work something out. So if you
we
are
try our
struggling,
best to help
yeah.
where you're struggling at.
Right.
That's what we're here for, guys.
Yeah.
I'm probably just going to point you where help is at.
That's right.
Yeah. There you go.
Same help you got.
Right.
Right. Uh-huh. So this is the part where we like to rap. Oh,
why are you looking at me?
He was finna do it. He's finna do it.
He was about to catch that beat.
I don't know
beat.
Why you looking at me.
Get to
you
him.
Were about
Come
to
on.
Catch that beat.
Come on, Costa. Give us a written.
I don't remember none of my writings, man.
Come on. Uh-oh, he's pulling out the phone.
Here we go.
Yeah.
Speak it.
I'll tell you this. Life, God, love, it's way better than you've ever been told. I know that. And I know that if you feel alone and you feel like you can't go forward anymore, you are not alone. We're here.
We know how you feel.
We know how you feel.
If that's the feeling, I can relate.
Yeah.
I know exactly what that feels like. So call me.
Yeah.
Message the Most High.
Yeah. You got one?
Oh, you actually serious?
Man. Oh, yeah. Coaster.
I don't know if I can do something with this, man.
Yo, you got it.
Oh, you can catch this.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Christian.
No, you got it. You got it. Go. Get him.
We'll just do a little freestyle.
Do it.
Chilling in the studio, what you really know? I don't know how I'ma flow to this beat, but I'ma go.
Oh.
What you really mean? We no longer smoking weed. We don't need a drink. We just trying to get clean and no. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the Most High.
You ride with it.
Show.
Ride with it. Vibe with it. Alive with it.
Ooh.
Every day I used to strive with it. Get high with it. Die with it. If I kept on that path, feel the aftermath. But I took the last breath and realized I needed to step. So I took the one, then right after the other, and learned how to make love to myself in a healthy way. I'm not trying to say what it is in my brain. I'm filtering away, yeah. And being connected in the real community, feeling that real unity is something new to me. But God is something that's so beautiful to me, and you should see it. Living, loving it. You know it's all substance inside my love, and that's what I got, so I'ma take it. I'ma give it whenever I can. Reach out, just use your fingers out your hand. Hit that DM and say, man, I need some help, and we show you the way. Yeah, we show you the way.
Nice.
Love you guys, man.
Love
Thank
y'all.
You for the support.
Peace and love.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you for listening.